Harihi Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahavirjam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavavitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 1 Adhikarna 3 Description of the Gunavataras. Page 33. So doubt may come up. Shamshaya, it is said Shiva is covered by Tamagun. Why do you say he is covered by all the gunas? Uttara. The material ego, aham, takes three forms of sattva, rajas, and tamas. He is the ego's presiding deity. Right? Because the ego itself, it says, he's in control of tamas, but the tamas has these three features, you know, in the false ego. Of that of the vaikarika, the rajasa, and taijasa. Right? So, from that ego, controlled by the Lord's representative, arose the 16 elements. A person who worships Upadhavan, Shiva, related to all types of wealth, Sarvasham, Vibhutinam, among all these elements, Amishu, since he is covered by them, attains the results he's desired. Because he's dealing, he is covered by, he deals with all these aspects. So then within these you know, three identities in goodness, passion, ignorance, that false ego, then Shiva can't fulfill. But that's the point. Beyond that, he can't. Mm-hmm. So Vishnu is supreme there. So it's then only through the connection with Vishnu can you get beyond that liberation. You know, but these things then you can get from Shiva if you want. It is well known he, or for this reason, he, Vishnu is not touched, paraha, by the coverings, prakritehi. Thus he is beyond the gunas, nirgunaha. How can he be related to the gunas? The reason is given. He is directly the Lord, purushaha. There is no obstruction between this form of Vishnu and the Lord, as in the case of a reflection. It is said, it means, it's non-different, so you're dealing directly with Vishnu, and he is the Lord. So there's no obstruction between. While with Shiva or Brahma, there's an obstruction between, because it means there's modes, there's these aspects before you get to the Lord. It is said, vidya, vidye, mama, tanu, vidhi. Understand that vidya and avidya are my shaktis. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.3. As in this verse, sometimes it is said, the Lord is possessor of shakta, sattva shakti, since he used to have a body, tanu. However, the Lord handles these energies by his glance alone. He bestows knowledge, sarvadrik, to Brahma, Shiva, and all others, and is the original witness, upadrashta. Thus, a person who worships Vishnu attains results beyond the gunas. Right? Brahma and Shiva, they can only give results within the gunas. Right? Sukadeva spoke thus, the verses. I would tend to put thus and spoke reversed. Sukadeva thus spoke the verses. Vriti. The next Anucheta details the position of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva in relation to the Supreme Lord Vishnu by citing from the second canto, where Lord Brahma enlightens Narada on the highest and most secret knowledge of the Absolute Truth, Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Right? Because we may say this, and we could say, oh, that's your understanding, but if Brahma says this,
yes,
then you can't say, oh no, it's actually this. Brahma doesn't know what he's talking about. So then why you're worshipping it? You know?
Shiva is like more or less the lord of the matter ego.
Yes.
And we can take it as a false ego if we have a material consciousness.
Yes.
And Vishnu is the lord of the real ego, you can say like that.
Yeah, it means we're servant of the Lord. Yes, you can say. It means he's the Lord of everything.
Yes.
So when we have the proper consciousness, see, it's because in the material world, the living entities, then they have an ego other than their natural position.
Yes.
You know, so as Prabhupada mentions, it's not that we have to desire to have a relationship with the Lord. We already have one. What we have to do is realize that relationship. It's not that we're creating a relationship. You know, that's why sometimes that question comes up as, you know, well, what if I want, you know, and change my relationship? The point is no, you already have one. It's like, you know, going out and buying a car or something, you know, or getting something from Amazon. Can I return it if I don't want it? You know, things like that. So it's you have that nature. It's already there, inherent. So there wouldn't be any need to change it. It is what it is. You know, does a mango need to change to another fruit? No, it's its nature. It's already there. Like that. Does that make sense? So it's only due to mundane consciousness that we're worried about that. Because if it's us, then we're happy. It's just like here. If we do things that we like according to our conditioning, we're happy. You know? Like that. You know what I'm saying? So then what's the problem? So if we're functioning on our own nature, then it's not a problem. So when you're coming into the material energy, we're not functioning according to our nature. So we have to have a false ego. Mm-hmm. So therefore, that's why then it has to be, you know, have a, you know, someone who takes care of that. And this false ego may be in three features: goodness, passion, or ignorance. You know, because someone in goodness identifies there. They don't identify with those in passion and ignorance. Someone in passion doesn't identify with those in goodness and ignorance. And those in ignorance don't identify with those in passion and goodness. You know? So then you have to have, you know, somebody who's dealing with that. And that's then the mentality, so you have that. But then that's the spirit and all that. Then you have to have a body. So then material nature takes care of that. Right, you know, just like the father is the spirit, like that. But the body, that comes from the mother.
Yes.
So like that, then you get the what's going on in the material energy. So that's what Shiva takes care of. That's what Maya takes care of. And so then these expansions of the Lord, then they take care of these things. Because in the spiritual world, you don't require that. So.
We just need to change to take out the upadi.
Yes, we get rid of the upadi and come to our natural position. Because upadi means something that's put on. But the point is when you get rid of upadis, means then you're left with what you naturally are. Right? Not like the impersonalist thing, then you're left with nothing. No, you're left with the natural. So that's the point. Prabhupada gives the example of the reason, you know, we can say is that, you know, we can say no, but then there's no form. But no, there has to be form. It's just like we put on this glove. What shape is the glove?
Hand.
A hand. Why? It's going coming in the hand. Right? You know, so the shirt then covers that because of the arms, or the pants because of that, because of the legs, you know, the hat because of the head. So that means there's already a form there, then the covering. Right? So therefore, the gross and subtle material bodies are in this shape because this is the original form. There is a head, there are arms, there are legs. You know. That's with the covering. So that's all covering the original. And so you just have to remove those, the original will still be there. Yeah.
It seems simple.
It is simple. That's the thing. It's very simple. We complicate it. Because if something's simple, we're not satisfied. No, if it's complicated, then I mature. I've thought about it. That's the point, is that it's so simple. Yes. It's just like, let us say, okay, the persons who, you know, won the Nobel Prize, you know, for, you know, let's say, in physics or other things, you know, what is that, you know, how do you define their formula? You know, it's huge, these huge things, and, you know, pages and that. How do you, it means, if I say Einstein, what's the formula? Everybody knows that. So that's the thing. He starts, so it becomes that simple.
Yes, we can remember.
While these other guys, they've only come to the point where they figured it out. They haven't thought enough that it becomes that simple. So that's the point, is that Siddhanta is simple. Then details, that's very complex. You know, it's just like we're saying in the drama. If it's supposed to be elevate the consciousness of the audience, right? Then it becomes very simple. You know? Because otherwise, if you say, no, it's about expression and this and the moods and the feelings, that, then it becomes very complicated. You know? So that's the difficulty, is that the absolute truth, the whole thing is very simple, because it's Krishna. Everything's coming from Krishna. He's Satchitananda. So therefore, his sarup being that, that's why everything that comes from him has these three features. So we see even here that the three kinds of ego are connected with the Satchitananda. They're just the reverse. Like that. So that's the thing. You know, time, past, present, future, all these things, it's all...
Yeah. So we can make our own formula. Brahma Bhuta, simple. Krishna Prema, simple. In between,
yes, yes.
Complicated.
Complicated, yes, yes. Yeah, basically, you know. But, yeah. The ultimate goal, prema, like you said, very simple. Where we were, total maya. Then in between, that's where the complication is. Yeah. Vriti, the next anucheta details the position of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Oh, we just read that. Okay, anucheta 15. Thus it is said that this Vishnu is non-different from the Purusha. I, Brahma, create under his order, and Shiva destroys under his order. Holding his three energies, the Lord protects the universe as the Paramatma. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.32. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The conception of one without a second is clearly confirmed here. The one is Lord Vasudeva. And only by his different energies and expansions are different manifestations, both in the material and spiritual worlds, maintained. In the material world also, Lord Vasudeva is everything, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Vasudeva sarvamiti, everything is Vasudeva only. In the Vedic hymns also, the same Vasudeva is held to be supreme. It is said in the Vedas, Vasudevat paro brahman nachanyorto stitatvataha. In fact, there is no greater truth than Vasudeva. And Lord Krishna affirms the same truth in the Bhagavad Gita 7.17. Matav parataram nanyat. There is nothing above me, Lord Krishna. So the conception of oneness, as overly stressed by the impersonalist, is also accepted by the personalist devotee of the Lord. The difference is that the impersonalist denies the personality in the ultimate issue, whereas the devotee gives more importance to the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam explains this truth in the verse under discussion. So it's not that they say, okay, now there's form, but in the future there'll be no form, you know, in the ultimate. All we say is that, you know, that the oneness is there, but the ultimate is the form. But it doesn't mean that the Brahman aspect goes away. It's just that we focus on that feature. Yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam explains this truth in the verse under discussion. Lord Vasudeva is one without a second, but because he is all-powerful, he can expand himself as well as display his omnipotencies. The Lord is so... He can be there, expand his potencies. He can also expand himself. So that's how he's there as Paramatma, even though the potencies are expanded. It's not that if he's doing one thing, he can't do the other.
Yes.
The Lord is described here as omnipotent by three energies, tri shakti drik. So primarily, his three energies are internal, marginal, and external. This external energy is also displayed in the three modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Right? So it means, again, in three, you see. Similarly, the internal potency is also displayed in three spiritual modes, samvit, sandini, hladini. The marginal potency of the living entities is also spiritual, prakritim, vidhime, param. But the living entities are never equal to the Lord. The Lord is nirasta. Samya atishaya. In other words, no one is greater than or equal to the Supreme Lord. So the living entities, including even such great personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, are all subordinate to the Lord. In the material world also, in his eternal form of Vishnu, he maintains and controls all the affairs of the demigods, including Brahma and Shiva. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.32, purport. Shruti also explains this. Sa brahmana srijati sa rudrena vilapayati. So nu patir alaya eva harir para paramanandaha. The Lord is full of the highest bliss, beyond the gunas, without birth and destruction. Creates the universe through Brahma and destroys it through Shiva, Maha Upanishad. Brahma spoke thus to Narada. Yeah. Does that make sense? So it's only in this spoke the verses. That would reverse. This how this is here, this is right. Vriti. That's the funny thing about English. Vriti, the supreme position of Lord Vishnu is thoroughly confirmed in the next Anucheda by providing evidence from the Shastras, where Lord Vishnu is described as the supreme Brahman. The real object who alone existed in the beginning of the creation. Anucheda 16. Bhagavatam also says, Srimad Bhagavatam describes the Supreme Lord, soul of the universe, from whose satisfaction Brahma is born, and from whose anger Rudra takes birth. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.5.1. Sutta spoke thus, the verse, or thus spoke the verse. Spoke thus. It also could work here, spoke thus the verse. Yeah, probably be better leave it like this and just put a comma after the thus.
Okay.
You know, then it takes on that more formal kind of thing. That's the Anucheda. Oh. No, but there's more.
Yeah, but
in this place. This is the way he did it. He wanted to bring that out, that this was spoken, yes. Vishnu, Paramatma, is not mentioned in the verse directly. Since it understood that he is non-different from the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan Harihi. Similarly, in the following verse, that is the implication of the word Sa'eva Vishnu, he who is Vishnu. Talloka Padmam Sa'u Eva Vishnu Pravivishat Sarva Guna Vabhasham Tasmin Swayam Vedamayo Vidata Swayam Bhuvam Yam Sma Vidanti so bhut. O Vidura, Vishnu entered the lotus of all the planets, which reveals all the enjoyable objects for the jivas. Brahma, known as self-born, composer of the Vedas, appeared within that lotus. Shruti also says, because he enters it, so there's all those aspects that are there to work with. Brahma enters it, then he can work with what's already there, given by Vishnu. Because all the ingredients aren't given by. Even Shiva, it's just they manifest, they unfold, but they don't originate in him. Prakriti comes from Vishnu. Right? It's just that when you add false ego, that's the catalyst. You know, just like you have milk and you put something sour, then you get yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in the same way is the sour doesn't provide the milk. So that false ego isn't provided by Lord Shiva is that. He's not providing the milk.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, like that. Shruti also says, Purusho havai narayano kamayata ata narayanad ajo jayata yata praja sarvani bhutani. The Purusha, who is Vishnu, desired. Then from Narayana, Brahma was born. From Brahma came all the living entities. Narayanaḥ param brahma tattvam narayanaḥ param ritam satyam param brahma purusham krishna pingalam. Narayana, the Purusha avatar, is the supreme Brahman. Narayana is the real object. The supreme Brahman is eternal truth. He is a person with a dark complexion. Mahanarayana Upanishad. Okay, so there's a difference between Mahanarayana and Maha Upanishad.
And Narayana Upanishad.
Huh?
There is Narayana Upanishad, there is Maha Upanishad, there is Mahanarayana Upanishad.
Yes. Yeah, three different. Narayana Upanishad's on its own. The Mahanarayana is the fourth part of Taittiriya.
Okay.
Like that. But it's so big and it's complete in itself that it's considered like its own Upanishad. So when you say Mahanarayana Upanishad, you just it means that part. Right? In the Taittiriya, then you know it means the first three. So depending upon the verse number, then you know. Eko Narayana asins na Brahma nacha Shankaraha Samunir Bhutva Samachintayat Tata Eva Vyajayanta Vishvo Hiranyagarbhognir Varuna Rudrendaha. One Narayana, Paramatma, existed in the beginning. Brahma and Shiva did not exist. Being silent, he meditated. From him arose the universe. Brahma, Agni, Varuna, Shiva, and Indra, Narayana Upanishad. Udriti. Srila Prabhupada elaborates on this topic as follows. The most important demigods, devas, are Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. In the beginning of the creation, there is Lord Vishnu, and from Lord Vishnu, Brahma is born. From Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva is born. And these three gods take charge of the three modes of material nature. Vishnu takes charge of Sattvagun, the mode of goodness. Lord Brahma takes charge of Rajaguna, the mode of passion. And Lord Shiva takes charge of Tamagun, the mode of ignorance. However, before the creation, there was no Brahma or Shiva. There was only Krishna. Krishna therefore says, Aham Adir Hi Devanam, Bhagavad Gita 10.2. He is the creator of all the demigods and all other living entities. After the cosmic manifestation is created, the living entities are placed in it. Therefore, in the Vedas, it is stated that in the beginning there was neither Brahma nor Shiva, only Narayana, Eko Narayana Asit. Narayana is also another plenary expansion of Krishna, teachings of Lord Kapila, verse 3. Therefore, it is correct to speak of the Purusha avatar as Vishnu. Right, so he's taking it step by step, because someone might complain in between. So you have to, no stone is left unturned. Because when people have doubts, they keep analyzing until they find, you know, something in a word or something in the grammar, and they, oh, see, aha, here you're wrong. But then, so therefore, takes everything, each step. You see that the Bhagavad Sandarbha, it's step by step, anything that can go wrong. There's one main principle. But then there's all the different ways that you can, right? In other words, there's a main misconception, and then there's somebody supporting misconceptions to establish it, you know, or they use their examples, or when you establish that, their doubts will come up in those areas, you know.
So now I can say that actually, it's like trying to elevate the audience of the person who is going to read.
Of course, it's always, you have to clear the doubts. But the point is this is written for the Vaishnavas because they'll appreciate it, you know, and any doubts that are there, misunderstandings.
Yes.
And at the same time is that now you, knowing this, now you can explain it to others.
Yes,
the whole point is to, it means you're establishing the proper philosophy, and at the same time you're removing any kinds of doubts that can come up.
So it is the same principle in any, when say every Vaishnava is doing the same thing, trying to elevate the consciousness of other person.
Yes, yes.
It's exactly like the drama, like...
yes, yes.
Same thing.
The point is paravidya is the origin. Aparavidya all comes from para. So that's why, technically it's not that, like in the drama, you know, then the philosophy's
yes.
like that. It's actually the other way around. Because the philosophy's like that, that's why drama's like this.
Yes, yes, yes.
But you can give it as an example in the, what's it, Udriti? You know, in the third section of the, third part of the, Adikarnas. That, then you can, you give examples. So you can give an example, just like in the, you know, in the play, it's this and that. But it's the origins the other way around.
Yes.
Paravidya is there, all these others come from that. Now, because it's applied in a particular area, it gets the specific vocabulary.
Yes.
So that's why then, you know, what terms would be there in philosophy, we'd use those in the philosophical. And then in the drama, we'd use that. But we know the connection.
Yes.
Right? The connection between the two, that's the anuchana. Mm-hmm. Being able to see what's the connections. See, most misunderstandings come up because connections aren't understood. Riti, the author next presents further arguments for the opponents who opine that many scriptures, including Srimad Bhagavatam, state that Brahma and Shiva are non-different from Vishnu, and differentiating between them leads one to hell. In order to counter such arguments... Right, so you establish what's right, and then in doing that, then this may come up also.
Mm-hmm.
Some may say, oh, no, but this aspect. So you're going to establish what's right first, you know, the principal point, and things like that, and then you go out from there. In order to counter such arguments, the author further sheds light on this topic in the next two Anuchetas by describing the causes of non-difference and difference among the three lords. Right, so that means there's some aspect that it's correct, but there's another aspect where it needs to be addressed. Right? Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are non-different from Lord Vishnu because all of them are forms of one Supreme Lord. However, there's a clear difference between them because Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are dependent controllers, and thus indirect forms of the Lord, whereas Lord Vishnu is independent controller, and hence the Supreme Lord himself. Also, the statements in Bhagavatam describe the non-difference of Lord Shiva from Lord Vishnu is either to indicate that Lord Shiva is a guna-avatara, different from Jiva, or to encourage him to perform the extraordinary feat of drinking the Kalakuta poison. The realized sages opine that all the Vedic scriptures describe Lord Narayana alone as the ultimate conclusion, and hence the Pancharatras, which recommend the worship of Lord Vishnu, are the topmost of all the literatures. Thus, Lord Vishnu alone is the supreme truth, and Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are the amshas that indirectly represent the supreme. Samshaya and Anucheta 17. Samshaya and Purvapaksha. So he's going to give his doubt and his reasoning, right? Not, what do you call it? More serious this time, not just a doubt. Okay. But it is also said that Brahma and Shiva are non-different from Vishnu. Trayanam eka bhavanam yona pashyati vai bidham. Bidham. One should not see difference between the three of us who have made have one nature. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.7.54. Nate mayachute je cha bidham anvapi chakshate. These devotees do not differentiate between Vishnu, Brahma, and me. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.10.22. And in other Puranas it said that seeing difference between them leads to hell. Right, so they're quoting from Bhagavatam, because we're using Bhagavatam. So they say, no, but here, then, you know, it's like that one says, oh, but the Brahma Samhita, you guys just made that up and that. But no, but the Shris, it was at their temple it was found. They were keeping it in their library. Lord Chaitanya found it in their library, and they say that that's what happened. Yeah. Uttara. True. We never speak of difference between them, since all these have been described as being forms of the Supreme Lord, being one entity. But though Shiva and Brahma appear to have different natures, handling destruction and creation, one should not consider them to be controllers independent from Vishnu. Vishnu is the soul of the universe. Vishvatmaka, Srimad Bhagavatam 12.5.1. Thus it is said, Brahmani Brahma Rupaha. He is the form of Brahma within Brahma. And we do not simply imagine difference between direct and indirect forms of the Lord. The difference is stated in the highest scriptures. The scriptures stating this have been given. Accepting the difference between them in the scriptures, we accept Dattatreya to be the Lord, and not Sama, Soma, Brahma, or Durvasa, Shiva. Right? Because they were all together, those three deities. So Dattatreya, yeah.
Now, in that case, Dattatreya means Vishnu?
Mm. He's an expansion of Vishnu.
Soma, Brahma, Durvasa.
Yeah, I think that was what, was Atri or something? He prayed that, that the Supreme Lord and that, but how in his prayers he was indicating Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, so they all three came. And so then he asked the benediction, and then so then he got three sons, one from that had is the nature of the Lord, one of Brahma and one of Shiva. So Durvasa is of Shiva, so that's why he's very auspicious, does very nice things, but he gets easily angered, and is in his anger he's quite destructive, like that. But you see, he takes part in so many pastimes, so. In Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Brahma speaks, I and Shiva are not supreme. We are portions of Vishnu Shakti. The Lord plays with us like toys. In Shruti, it is said, Yam kamaye tam ugram krinomi tam brahmanam tam rishim tam sumedam. I make whomever I desire into Shiva. I make whomever I desire into Brahma or a sage. Rig Veda 10:125.052. Yeah, now here's the full numbering. It is also said in the Vedas, Mam Yonir Apsvanta, my birth is in the water. Rig Veda 10:125.7. In the water means my birth arises from Karanadakshay Vishnu, who resides in the water. Apo nara iti prokta. Apas means water. Yonihi means cause. So he's coming from the one sleeping on the water. Perfect attachment which cannot be accomplished by Brahma. Perfect detachment which cannot be accomplished by Brahma, Shiva, or other devatas is achieved only by you. As this is your nature, O Lord. Right, so we see many verses from Skanda in that are used to establish the Lord. But, that very big Purana, I think, Skanda. I think Skanda, is Skanda the 100,000?
Yeah. 80.
Not 100.
It's very big.
84 something.
But, you know, so they see, they're quoting, I don't know how many, 5-10 shlokas from there. You know, so that's what it means. The Goswamis went into all these literatures and took out the essential points. So that's a very... It's written for those... It's in ignorance. It's written for those in ignorance. And so, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't describe about the Supreme Lord. But generally those people in ignorance, since you only have a few verses that describe that, they will take the bulk. Right.
Soft preaching.
Soft preaching. Yes, soft preaching. You know, and we see as Narad Muni wasn't impressed. Yeah. So, yeah. So that's the point: is that if the essence isn't given, then it becomes a problem. That one's addressing natures. That one's doing those things. That's fine. That's correct. That's the proper etiquette. That's the proper approach. But it's still, you still have to explain the proper thing. So they have explained here, just that they won't catch it. They're thinking, oh no, they'll catch it. They're so smart. No, they won't catch it. You know, they have to understand only by Krishna's grace that people understand about him. It's not because of anything else. It's not because, oh, they're so intelligent, they'll figure it out. No. Okay. So you see, is even in here. In a Tamasa Purana, that they quote many of them, that they're explaining about the Lord. Yes.
It only creates a samskara, like for when they meet a devotee, and there is a samskara where they can connect, oh, this is higher.
Yes. Otherwise, without, if they just read it, it won't make any sense. Like, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he's read all the scriptures, so he's read the verses that explain about Lord Chaitanya, but he didn't know what they meant, so they just leave them. But then once he met Lord Chaitanya, then he said, that's what this verse means. Right? Then he was able to appreciate.
Same with Vaishnavdas Babaji.
Oh yes, Vaishnavdas Babaji, yes. He's also, you know, the big scholar, and he came to Navadvip and then became a devotee. So he had heard, he studied scriptures, he knows all these things, he speaks Sanskrit, so, you know.
Also he meets Prabodhananda Saraswati in Vrindavan, that's how he gets the inspiration to go to Navadvipa.
That was Prabodhananda Saraswati, okay. Yeah, so then he's met the chit potency. It is also said that considering Brahma and Shiva to be equal to Vishnu is a fault. Na labhyeyuhu punar bhaktim harer aikantikim jara. Ekagrya manasas chapi vishnur samanya darshinaha. The foolish people who fervently see others to be equal to Vishnu will not attain bhakti to the Lord, Vishnu Tantra. Elsewhere it is said, Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudrani Daivata Samatvenaiva Viksheta Sa Pashandi Bhaved Dhruvam. The person who views Vishnu to be the same as Brahma, Shiva, and others will certainly become a fallen soul. Padma Purana 6:236-9. Madhye Vanamam Ashinam Viche Deva Upasate. The Vishva Devas worship Vamana seated in the middle. Katha Upanishad 2:23. Right. So he's giving from so many different places and all that. And so then the point can't come. He says, oh no, but this is the Purana and this. That. He's already established that in the Tattva Sandarbha. So authority is there. And then we have to accept that. Because otherwise you sometimes see is that it's there, oh, you know, you say Bhagavad, no, but it can't, you know. Yeah, so, but no, once it's established, Shastra's established, then that has to be accepted. You know, and then we see, okay, well, how do the acharyas comment on it? You know. So if they're not understanding the oneness, then you have to establish that oneness. But at the same time, that doesn't mean the difference doesn't remain. Or if they see the oneness, not the difference, you may be emphasizing the difference. Purva Paksha. In other scriptures, it is said that Shiva is the supreme deity. So, you know, then this comes up. You know, it's like, no, but you're saying that they're all one and all that, you know, so you can't see them as different. So in that way, then Shiva is the supreme deity. You know, Vishnu is supreme, then Shiva and that are the same, so there he's the supreme deity. That's what they're trying to get to. Uttara, that is true, but that is negated by carefully examining stronger and weaker statements in scripture. In the Padma and Shiva Purana, Shiva repeats Vishnu's words to Parvati. O Shiva, worshipping you, I will receive this gift from you. At the end of Dwapara Yuga, you should appear among human beings and bewilder people who are opposed to me. Using imaginary scriptures, hide me so that this creation of illusion will continue in the future. Varaha Purana, because there's always someone who wants to think like this, so you should have a basis for it. Because like it said before, in the creation, the 14 planetary systems, all the, you know, the 16 elements are there, and that's all based around the opportunity of enjoyment for the jivas. Mm-hmm. So they've come to the material world to enjoy, and therefore those options are there. So if someone wants to forget him and see from the impersonal way, you need a philosophy. And in that way, you can do it. You know, just like you want to take it that the material energy is the supreme, but it, specifically as atoms, this is a philosophy. You know, so then there's a basis. But if you want to know the absolute truth, that's another thing.
So? It's an interesting fact that Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, he makes a analysis of what is Vedic culture based on and what is modern, you know, like Western culture is based on. Mm-hmm. And the Vedic culture is based on philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same manner, the Western culture should be based on philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So by examining carefully, he comes to the conclusion that what we see now as a Western society, it's based on the three main philosophers, Freud, Nietzsche, and Karl Marx. So those three, I don't know why they're all German, but whatever.
That's why the Anglo-Saxons get so, proud.
So this is, because knowingly or unknowingly, or consciously or subconsciously, the Western society follows that philosophy, those three philosophers. So it's all based on there. They can't explain it, obviously.
Of course.
But still, it's like, it's inside their nature. That's how they live their life.
Yes. Well, it's just the modes of nature will create that. Because, in other words, every Kali Yuga at a certain time, these different philosophers come up. And when they come up, then people follow. Like that, but you have to have the situation because they can come up because you've had the enlightenment. Right? So that way you've separated church and state, but basically what they're meaning is you separate the church from your life. You know? And so then, having separated that from your life, now you can come up with all these philosophies. Then these people will come up. And now they become very prominent. You know, if you go back before, it would probably be Aristotle was the man. You know, before them.
Yeah, that era is also three. Socrates?
Yes, Socrates.
Plato?
Yes.
And Aristotle?
Aristotle, yes.
But then we can see also the degradation one after the other.
Yes. And so therefore, I think it was even the church, because people were complaining there's no philosophy or logic. So I think Thomas Aquinas, he blended Aristotle into Catholicism. Yeah.
Oh, Catholicism.
Yeah. Like that. That's what happened on that side, because I think by that time the East Orthodox was on their own path. Yeah, they were doing something else. The two didn't agree with each other. I think one of the main differences, has come up is that the West wanted to emphasize how Jesus is non-different from God, exactly the same. while the East was more as, no, he's coming from God, like that. He's important, just like, you know, it was the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But it's from, it said that from the Father comes the Son and the Holy Ghost. But there's the West was saying, no, the Holy Ghost comes from the Father and the Son. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big point where I think at some point that was, it would have been the straw that broke the camel's back. So at that point they just split. You know, like that. Mm-hmm. So it's just, the, you know, they overemphasize. So in there, then their philosophy is off and it has that more. Then they include this in there also. So that it gives rise to, you know, more materialistic development. Mm-hmm. Like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, well, the East was still a bit more on, you know, the religious culture and all that. Mm-hmm. So it's just... But yes, the modes of nature are going to create all these different situations at different times, you know, depending on the people and how much. So by these last three you mentioned, you don't... They're not professing any lifestyle, you know. And while before that, you had a lifestyle to live, and, you know, it went along with that. But here, it's like, what's it based on, or what lifestyle? You know, at least Aristotle, it would have been on the Greek lifestyle. But on theirs, it doesn't have a lifestyle. You know, what's the communist like? What does a communist eat?
Eggs?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Like that, you know. You know, so that's the thing, is that it doesn't have, it's not a complete in their philosophy. Therefore, you see, is you don't have anything in the West. They don't have, you know, this is just by habit what the local does. But even then, there's no agreement. You know, it's just like you could say is that, okay, this is, you know, the French lifestyle and the French food and all this. And that'll be that to the rest of the world. Right? So in other words, if anybody that's not French wants to complain about what's going on in France, then France will stand up. But once everybody's gone away and the doors are closed, now the French guys will argue with each other what's food and what's this and that. Anyway, you call that food, that's not, you know. You know, so, you know. So that's the thing, is there's no specific standard. It basically comes down to regions, and then from that down to families, and that down to basically what your grandma does. You know, because what your grandma cooks, that's food, and everything else is wrong. Basically.
Yeah, because Nietzsche, you know, in a nutshell, he says, do whatever you want to do.
Oh wow, that was it. Beach Boys, that's their song. Yeah, so they simply put Nietzsche to lyrics. So.
Then Freud, he says, enjoy, and like to the max.
Was he Jewish?
He no.
Oh. German.
He was German. They can be Jewish.
They have very limited vision.
So enjoy.
What enjoyment is.
Do what you want to do, as long, and then his is enjoyment, and the communist.
Karl Marx says that the God didn't prove himself historically, so just sort of.
Okay. So
historically, we can see that this God is not God, doesn't really matter.
So he removed the guilt
from it. He removed the guilt. Oh, okay. So now you can do what you want to do and enjoy because God's not there. Yeah. I'm sure that would be... People would be quite comfortable with that.
Yeah. And as a result of it, this is the cause, and the result is consumerism as a lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what we see at the
end. It's, in other words, it's good for economics. It's good for economic... volume in the market. Yeah. I mean, in your contemporary things, is that, you know, opposing the Vedic version or what's in the scriptures or the tradition, you know, trying to say, oh, it's Kali Yuga, you can't do these things and stuff like that. You know, we're Westerners. Like that. It's the same thing. You have to get rid of the Lord. you know, that, you know, we're all equal and all that, so that'll be the same position, right? And then they won't strongly say about enjoyment, but they'll say about do what you want to do.
Freedom of speech, freedom.
Yeah,
it's like all about freedom.
Yeah, it's all about freedom. There's a song about that also.
I mean, to get popular, you gotta think about it.
yeah.
These guys, they enjoy so much, and the singers and all, and when they are completely bored, then they take up some philosophy for a few days,
yeah.
And then afterwards, later, they use that one.
They also use that, and then move on, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing, is that as Krishna plans it, all these different tastes will be there. Because like you're saying, if people want to, how do you get a good Kali Yuga, right? You know, because if you're going to go for it, you know, if you're going to do it right, right? So that means you can't have any restrictions. And where's the main restrictions going to come from? This one says this one says that. These things can be ignored. But when God says, then that's going to be something that you can't really ignore. So if you get rid of God in it, then it brings it down to now you do what you want, and why are you doing what you want? Then you enjoy. So control and enjoy. Right? So basically one's saying control, one's saying enjoy, and the other's saying there's no God. So therefore now it's you control and enjoy as you like. Yeah, very, very holistic. Approach, you know.
Scientific
approach to the Kali Yuga mentality.
So yeah. Also, so Mark mentions about you are like a communism. You are the friend of everyone.
You're the friend of everyone. So you throw that in also. So you get all three. So you got the Bhokta Ram Yajna Tapasam, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, you know, Bhokta Ram Yajna Tapasam. That would be the what do you call it? The Sigmund. Freud, right? You know, then Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, that'll be your Nietzsche. And then the Suridam Sarva Bhutanam, that would be your Marx. So it's complete, yeah. You were saying?
The pillars of Kali Yuga.
The pillars of Kali Yuga, yes. The great pillars of Kali Yuga. You know, carve them into a rock somewhere or something.
Yeah.
Did.
Karl Marx was everywhere carved on the rock.
Yeah.
My house was on the Karl Marx Street.
Karl Marx Street, okay. Okay.
Yeah, we went next to Lenin. Next to Lenin. I mean, everywhere were the same streets, same name.
Yeah, as I said, you said that you have Constructor Street, right? Third Constructor Street.
Yeah, that was also Lenin.
Yeah.
They have in Calcutta something.
Karl Lenin, Marx?
Lenin Sarni.
Yeah,
that's sad. I mean, before the original names were much better.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Because I was shocked the first time, the second time I was going to Calcutta. And then, you know, in the back of my mind, I saw something. And I turned, was Lenin, Marx, Engels. I felt like back.
Yeah. The best one that I thought was that'd be just for fun. You know, there's that really short street. It's only two blocks long. It's between Kamak Street and Chowringhee. You know, it comes just off of Vardhan Market. You know, the American Embassy's on there, and it takes up one block. So this means, you know, so there's a, and that street's called Ho Chi Minh Sarnie. So Ho Chi Minh was who was in charge of North Vietnam at the time of the Vietnam War. So I was thinking, this is a slap in the face. Yeah. You know, like that. Yeah, so.
It's the only place in India you hear these people's name.
Nowhere else. Because otherwise, what do the politicians do but sit around and make new names, you know? And then, you know, they've changed the name, but then somebody wants to keep this or that, so you start breaking up the street. So every two blocks, it's got a different name. Mm. You know, it's like, what? Mm-hmm.
And this is the opposite.
Hmm?
One street through all the towns, One name.
Yeah, one.
Different numbers.
Yeah, yeah. Starts at Vladivostok and it ends up over in St. Petersburg or wherever it is, you know. Yeah, it messed it up when not Uruguay, not Ujjain, not Urukrama. The one next to Poland. They used to have Crimea, and now they don't so much.
Ukraine.
Yeah, so then the number system got messed up because now the road went into that, then, you know, they couldn't do the numbers anymore. So. Okay, so Purva Paksha, another scripture that said that Shiva is the supreme deity, Uttara. That is true, but that is negated by carefully examining stronger and weaker statements in scripture. In the Padma Purana Shiva Purana, Shiva repeats Vishnu's words to Parvati. O Shiva, worshipping you, I will receive this gift from you. At the end of Dwapara Yuga, you shall appear among human beings and bewilder people who are opposed to me. Using imaginary scriptures, hide me so that this creation of illusion will continue in the future. Varaha Purana says, I will quickly create illusion. O Shiva, you who will bewilder people, make deceptive scriptures, reveal what is false, reveal yourself and hide me. Right, so he makes Shiva prominent and Vishnu is hidden. The Tamasic Puranas glorify Shiva. The Puranas which glorify Vishnu give real knowledge. Satvat sanjayate jnanam. Knowledge is produced from sattva. Bhagavad Gita 14:17. So the sattvic Puranas, that will produce the full knowledge. And these others only give part. And so those who want to be bewildered, then they can read and think that that's the ultimate. Otherwise, then you read and you understand that Vishnu is supreme. Matsya Purana says, the sages know that the glorification of the Lord is greater in sattvic Puranas. The Rajasika Puranas glorify Brahma. In Tamasic Puranas, Agni and Shiva are prominently glorified. In other mixed works, Saraswati and the Pitris are predominantly glorified. O beautiful one, it is said that the Puranas in the mode of goodness are 1. Vishnu, 2. Narada, 3. Srimad Bhagavatam, 4. Garuda, 5. Padma, and 6. Varaha. It is said that the Puranas in the mode of passion are 1. Brahmananda, 2. Brahma Vivarta, 3. Markandeya, 4. Bhavishya, 5. Vamana, and 6. Brahma. It is said that the Puranas in the mode of ignorance are 1. Matsya, 2. Kurma, 3. Linga, 4. Shiva, 5. Skanda, and 6. Agni. In Skanda Purana, Shiva tells Kartikeya, in the scriptures glorifying Shiva, one should accept what is in agreement with scriptures concerning Vishnu. Vishnu is the Supreme Lord. Knowledge of him produces liberation. That is the conclusion of scriptures. Everything else brings about illusion. In the Moksha Dharma, it is said, Shankyam Yoga Pancharatram Veda Pasha Patam Tata Jnanan Yetani Rajarshe Viti Nana Matani Vai Shankasya Vakta Kapila Paramarsh Shitas Shauchate Hiranyagarbho Yogasya Veta Nanya Puratanaha. Know that Shankya, Yoga, Pancharatra, the Vedas, and Shaiva scriptures present various philosophies. Kapila is said to be the great sage who spoke Shankya. Brahma is the speaker of Yoga long ago. 3. These numbers.
These are from.
Oh, okay. Okay, it was there in the original text, yeah. Okay. Then, 3 and 4, then. Apantarattha is said to be the Acharya for the Vedas. Some call him Prachina Garbha, peaceful Shiva. The husband of some call him Prachina Barha, peaceful Shiva, the husband of Parvati, and lord of the ghosts, son of Brahma, with beautiful throat, spoke Shaiva philosophy. The Lord is the speaker of all the Pancharatra texts. O best of kings, among all types of knowledge, in all scriptures and philosophies, the conclusion is Lord Narayana. O king, those who are ignorant do not know him. The wise writers of scriptures proclaim the sage Narayana to be the conclusion. I speak nothing else. The Lord dwells constantly in persons having no doubt. Madhava does not reside in persons who are doubtful and are prone to logic. And Pancharatra vidote tu yata krama para nripa ekanta bhavo pagataste harim pravishanti pravishanti vai. Those who know Pancharatric scriptures through parampara attain pure bhava for the Lord. Attain the Lord. Attaining pure bhava for the Lord. Attain the Lord. Shankyam yogas cha sanatane dve vedas cha sarve nikile pri rajan. Sarvai samaster rishabir nirukto narayano vishvam idam puranam. O king, Shankya, yoga, and all the Vedas are eternal. All the sages proclaim Narayana. Apan Taratama is the name of the of Veda Vyasa in a different birth. The verses should be explained as follows. Various philosophers are shown in the above verses in order to state that Narayana, approved by Pancharatra, is the highest form. Pancharatra is considered the best. Dvau Bhuta Sargau Loke Smin Daiva Asura Eva Cha. There are two types of beings, the devatas and the demons, Bhagavad Gita 6.16. It should be understood that the various philosophers mentioned above follow the nature of the demons. Those who are devata in nature conclude that Narayana, as stated in Pancharatra, is supreme by examining all the scriptures. Verse 5, the demons are criticized in verse 6. Okay, so verse 5 was... Okay, the Pancharatrasya Krishnasya. And verse 6, okay. Okay, the Lord is the speaker of all the Pancharatric texts, O best of king, among all types of knowledge, in all scriptures and philosophies, the conclusion is the Lord is Narayana. Then, O king, those who are ignorant do not know him. So that's criticizing the demons. Vishnu Dharma and Agni Purana state this. There are two types of beings, devatas and demons. The devatas are the devotees of Vishnu, and demons are the opposite. And so it's not necessarily a particular physical form. It's a mentality.
Yes.
You could also get a particular physical form.
Yes.
Shamshaya. But in various scriptures, we see various philosophies. Uttara. Verse 7 answers this question. Well, that's why he's going to be referring to them all the time. So verse 7 was... Okay, the wise writers of scriptures proclaim the sage Narayana to be the conclusion. I speak nothing else. Okay. The writers of scriptures, other than Pancharatra, have two types. Those with a little knowledge and those with all knowledge. Those with a little knowledge who speak one portion of the truth. Like describing a small part of the ocean, speak a little about the fact that scriptures conclude in Narayana, the complete truth. Those sages who have all knowledge have the following intention. We do not write scriptures to bewilder the demons, but for enlightening the devotees. Seeing scriptures mixed with Rajas and Tamas, with many difficult sadhanas, and despairing at seeing the difficulty in understanding the Vedas, the sages deeply examine the Pancharatra, which clearly states that Narayana is the purest truth, the essence of the meaning of the Vedas, and that his worship is blissful. That is explained in verse 8. Okay, so verse 8 is... The Lord dwells constantly in persons having no doubt. Madhava does not reside in persons who are doubtful and are prone to logic. Therefore, one should study Pancharatra in order to understand the meaning of the Vedas. Verse 9, this is all summarized in verse 10. So 9 was, those who know Pancharatrik scriptures through Parampara attain pure bhava for the Lord. Attaining pure bhava for the Lord, attain the Lord. And 10, O King, Shankya Yoga and all the Vedas are eternal. All the sages proclaim Narayana. So it means one has to hear in Parampara. So that's the thing we've been given deity worship. Mm-hmm. You know, the Narada Pancharatra by Srila Prabhupada. He's explained the deity worship. And so there's, you know, it's explained in the essence in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then, So the Pancharatra is a transcendental literature. It's not an aparavidya. Even though it's describing rituals and all that, it's describing them in connection with Vishnu only. No demigods like this and that. So Pancharatra means Vishnu. So it's transcendental.
We know the Narada Pancharatra, there are other Pancharatra.
They're all given by Narada. Because the Pancharatra is there, it's spoken to Narada, right? And he hears that, and then from that it's revealed to the sages. Then you have 108 Pancharatras, because he speaks to all different people speak. When they get lost, he's the one that reveals them again. So in that way you can say Pancharatra is from Narada. Though of the Pancharatras, there's one specifically that's Narada Pancharatra. So, yeah, but it's understood is that it's a transcendental literature, because sometimes it gets put into, oh no, it's Karmakanda or this or that and these kind of things. Like taking Hari Bhakti Vilas and saying, oh, it's just for Karmakanda and things like that. Why would Sanatana Goswami bother writing it? Why would he go to so much effort, you know, and then it's just Karmakanda? You know, so one has to understand the Pancharatra is transcendental, because it's only about Vishnu. So just as you've taken all the, you know, aspects of worship that there are, like in Upasana Kanda, and you take the essence of that, it's all about Vishnu. That's Pancharatra. Right? So all the philosophy and all the ritual, whatever's the essence about worshipping Vishnu, that's Pancharatra. And we see the six Goswamis went through all the Vedic literatures, took out the essence. You know, and so it's all about Vishnu. So the essence means it's about Vishnu. Okay. It will stop. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.